You're listening to Banal Leakage, Episode 22, Billions of Them. Episode 22, first day of June, June 1st. Man, hard to believe this year is almost half over. Well, I mean, it will be at the end of June. Planning summer vacations here, starting later this month with a trip to San Francisco for my wedding anniversary. It'll be 6 years. Wow. Is that right? Yeah. 6 years. Yeah. This will be my wife's first time in that city. She's never been. So I'm looking forward to exploring the city with her in the almost 4 days that we are there. Yeah, and there's a few other trips, and I'll discuss those as they come along here in the podcast. But for now, let's start the news. Steve Ballmer gets the winning bid of $2 billion to buy the Los Angeles Clippers, the NBA team. I never knew so much money could be spent on a sports team, let alone an NBA team. This is not to slight the NBA at all or compare them to, you know, say the NFL, but, you know, the Clippers were the butt of many Los Angeles jokes. Their record was pretty dismal. I mean, they lost twice as many games as they won most seasons, not much winning going on there. Especially so when compared to their pretty much their neighbors, the Los Angeles Lakers. So the sale was related to racist remarks by team owner Donald Sterling. So everyone, you know, quick little summary catch up. Donald Sterling caught on tape with his girlfriend, made remarks about black people. Anyway, so the NBA forced him to sell the team. To me, it doesn't make much sense on a financial level. I mean, he benefits from this. You know, make racist marks, make $2 billion. That's kind of how people are seeing this here. So, you know, basically he's made more than what he spent on it. So all this over his banishment from the league. So now Steve Ballmer, let's get caught up to speed with him. He is the former CEO of Microsoft. He took over as CEO after Bill Gates stepped down. If you're in the tech industry and you've watched any of his keynotes or any of his kind of speeches or things like that, he's pretty crazy. Some of his antics that he does, go look up some YouTube segments and you'll see what I'm talking about here. So, you know, he might add some color and flair to this team. Still, you know, getting back to the $2 billion, it's a lot of money. I guess you can call it an investment, but, you know, I doubt that any, you know, full return or profit's going to happen anytime soon. But I guess we'll see what happens. So, you know, let's go Clippers. Anne B. Davis, who played Alice, the housekeeper slash maid on the Brady Bunch, died at 88. Now, 88 seems old. It is old. I mean, it's a good long life, but, you know, she's had a fall. She fell at her home and hit her head on the bathroom sink or something like that, and it caused hemorrhaging, and she didn't get it looked at right away, or maybe she did, and, you know, it just took her too quick. Her death was very untimely. So I could imagine her living much longer if she wouldn't have had this accident. Like I said, she was best known for her role as the maid and housekeeper on the 70s TV show The Brady Bunch. I used to watch that show a lot. It had its cheesy moments, and, you know, and there was a lot of kitsch to it, you know, as far as, you know, 70s vibe and things like that. She was, you know, quite the character. I mean, she retired from acting, you know, some 30 years ago at least, maybe even a little longer. I always remember her. You know, she really played that role well. You know, she took care of the dogs, took care of the kids. You know, she was, you know, kind of an advice, you know, always there, you know. She had this relationship with Sam the Butcher that was kind of interesting. You know, as a kid, I never really understood the whole grasp of that type of relationship, but you know, now in hindsight, you know, you look back years later and you're like, oh my, huh? It was kind of interesting. So, you know, other wacky moments that were part of that show that Alice was part of. And so, you know, sad to hear that, you know, her, you know, she died sooner than what she could have lived on. You know, I mean, geez, Betty White's in her 90s and Alice, I'm sure, was, other than this fall, was in, you know, pretty good health. So she will be missed. The Twilight Concert Series for 2014. So this is a summer series of concerts that go from mid-July, or, well, start of July till about the end of August here in Utah and Salt Lake City. It's been going on for years, over 20 years. So for the longest time, they were free, and they were held at this place called the Gallivan Center, which is right in the middle of downtown. The crowds grew each year. A few years ago, they moved from the Gallivan Center to Pioneer Park, which is not quite, it's still downtown, but it's, you know, it's over, it's a little more west of actual downtown. So, and they started charging $5 per person to get in. Bands like Modest Mouse, Wild Nothing, Flaming Lips, Common, and Cracker drew crowds in excess of 50,000. Yeah, I was at that Modest Mouse show. I think that was the first year they started charging it, and they moved it to Pioneer Park. Over 50,000 people there. It was just insane. I mean, it was packed. You know, people for years would bring, you know, their babies in strollers, and, you know, you'd try to call someone and cell phone coverage was pretty bad. Couldn't send a text, couldn't make a phone call. So, you know, it gets that packed, you know. So since they started charging $5, you know, initially, you know, people, you know, kind of calm down. It's not a freebie fest anymore, so to speak. You know, like people are like, I don't know what band this is. I just come here because it's free, you know? And it's like, you know, I get that you want something to do and it is free, but really you're comfortable being around 50,000 plus people that are, you know, just, you know, a lot of were there for certain bands. So this year, you know, the lineup, you know, they have different bands. I have a link on the show notes that will talk about the whole, you know, each lineup and who the band is each week. The main acts this year are Lauryn Hill from the Fugees and Beck. So I've got my tickets to go see Beck, and I look forward to that show. They usually try to land some type of large act every year. You know, like I said, previous years they had other acts, and so I'm looking forward to Beck. So they do have food and beer at the show. Beer is 3.2% only, so nothing heavier than that. You know, the various vendors are at the show, so it's a fun time. You know, if you're going to be in Salt Lake City, or if you live in Salt Lake City and you know, plan on attending one of those shows, I mean, it's it's fun. You know, it's a fun show. You know, you get a chance to see a great band for $5. You know, so. I look forward every year. This week's rant, Utah DABC and liquor licenses. I don't recall. I've kind of gone back, you know, through the other, you know, 21 episodes, and I don't recall too much complaining about Utah liquor laws. So it's just a joke, you know. So this year, recently, in this last week, it came to a head. So one of the ski resorts we have here in Utah, Snowbird, holds Oktoberfest every year, starting in August for several weekends. So they've been doing this for over 40 years. You know, it's food and beer and wine and just a lot of fun, you know, different bands that play. You know, it's awesome. We get thousands of people that show up, you know, and even from out of the state, out of the country showing up. I mean, you know, there's culture, there's, you know, the German food, German beer. So this year, the DABC, which stands for the Department of Alcohol Beverage Control, they want to not issue Snowbird a single event liquor license like they've had in the previous years. So they're playing, what they're saying is that they're playing this card, you know, they're saying, well, the intent of a single event license is supposed to be for nonprofit and community benefit. Utter bullshit. You know, it's just another, don't get me started on this. Well, I've already started, too late. So, you know, like I said, thousands of people go up to the ski resort during the warmer months for, you know, food, fun, and booze, you know. So, you know, let me clue you in here. For those of you that are not familiar with Utah's, you know, liquor licenses and liquor laws, I can summarize it in one sentence. Utah liquor laws are made by people that don't drink. So that's pretty much it. I mean, so, you know, Utah legislatures, most of them are Mormon, LDS, from an organized religion standpoint. They have no clue what a responsible drinker is. You know, they have this idea that, you know, anyone who drinks alcohol is going to go out, they're going to drive, they're going to kill people, they're going to cause problems, they're going to have the police, be called because they're violent, and, you know, it's like, you know, they don't understand that there are responsible drinkers out there, you know, and they don't even care, you know, which is why our liquor laws here are screwed up. And who do they hurt? They hurt business and tourism. You know, they're not, you know, that's fine. If your religious beliefs say don't drink alcohol, that's fine. But other people that don't believe the same way you do are responsible adults. And if you treat them as responsible adults, they are going to be, you know, they're not going to abuse the problem. Yes, there will be abuse here and there, but, you know, overall, you know, treat people as responsible adults. So Snowbird does hold other liquor licenses, but it would be a serious change in how Oktoberfest is run if they are not issued a single permit license. You know, like they have a beer license, but, you know, their beer license is so they can only serve 3.2% beer. It's a change from previous years when they are able to serve, stronger beers. So I would hate to see this community event turn negative, but, you know, this is Utah, and our liquor laws aren't going to change overnight. You know, they get better here and there, but sometimes, you know, we hear this crap that happens. So this week's shameless plug, on Friday night, I went to see Chris Hardwick, and he's a stand-up comic. He's really more than that. He's more famous for his Nerdist podcast and the host of the Comedy Central show At Midnight. So the show At Midnight is kind of like a talk show, a format talk show. Very popular for using hashtags on Twitter to trend various topics like ruin a band, or, you know, that's one of my favorite of the hashtags they used, where you come up with an alternate name for band that sounded bad, you know. So his stand-up routine was an hour of, you know, various jokes and situational comedy and things like that. He dropped the F-bomb a lot. It was an integral part of his act. But it did fit well during many of the skits, as he asked, early on, he, you know, which I think is pretty typical of stand-up comics, you know, he asked, you know, hey, what do you do for a living? You know, and so he found enough people in common, you know, that tied it all together. Like someone was a probation officer, someone else does strip searching at the prison, and then someone else was a massage therapist. And so he used that to his advantage and did from a joke standpoint. So if you it really helps if you know web and online lingo to get some of the jokes that he told. So yeah, it was worth the $30 I spent to see him. And, you know, if he comes back around, I'll go see him again. Not quite billions, but 22 is pretty good. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.